Hello, I'm Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com, bringing you a Floydcast number 63 for April 27, 2015. Doing the old research thing this morning, trying to decide what to talk about. Tibet, Nepal, Everest, this got hit again, almost exactly 1 year later. 1 year ago, something like 19 Sherpas got killed in the Khumbu Icefall. The Sherpas do a lot of transportation of the heavy stuff for the Western climbers, and they have to go through the Khumbu Icefall to do it. And the Khumbu Icefall is the most dangerous part of the Everest climb, really. I guess one other part you could say has become more dangerous over time, and that is when you're near the top, when you're in the death zone, as they call it, and you get these huge lineups. I've seen a picture where they had hundreds of people lined up, one right after the other, climbing up Everest. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. It's like if you're in rush hour traffic, can you get somewhere in a timely fashion? If you're part of a group of hundreds of people, can you get to the top in a timely fashion? And it's all about, you have to know when to turn back, and you have to be prepared to turn back if you want to live. So there's a huge risk factor with Everest. And so a year ago, the Sherpas, the mules, a lot of them died, and they were pretty upset. They didn't feel there was enough compensation from their government. Their government charges, I think it's like $70,000 a person. For each person that wants to try and climb Everest, you have to pay $70,000 each time. And the Sherpas, I think when they died, they might have been offered something like the widow family gets $5,000. It's paltry. Such is the way of the world. Well, here we are 1 year later. Khumbu Icefall, this time there was an earthquake just a few miles away. Very tall mountain, 22,000 foot mountain nearby, and the earthquake could be felt at Everest Base Camp. Freaked everyone out, they all jump out of their tents, and they look up at the Khumbu Icefall, and what do they see? But they see a slide coming down the Khumbu Icefall towards their camp. Now this is really rare. I don't know if I've ever heard of anything happening at the Everest Base Camp. Well, next thing you know, this avalanche of snow covers the camp, and I don't know if they have given numbers yet of those who might be lost at Everest camp, but I know of at least one person. In fact, that person worked at Google, and Google has already announced or admitted, yep, this guy was there. Well, the death toll, I mean, I saw one number like 600, and then an hour later you see it's 700, and then a day later it's 1400, and then today I think it's almost 3000. You wonder about the time of year. Sometimes of the year are more dangerous than others, and as they try and commercialize something, they want to stretch out the season, right? You make more money that way. So I do wonder about the season everyone is climbing in at the moment. I guess if you reverse the seasons, we're in just coming out of winter into spring, so they would be just coming out of summer into fall. So yeah, I would think the weather is just starting to get worse. In this case, it wasn't a weather accident, really. They're just in a precarious area as it is. They're right on the edge as it is, and then if anything happens, now you've got a problem. So I sort of want to give a shout-out or a thoughtful nod to thousands of people who have died in an earthquake accident in Nepal, in Tibet. And on that somber note, there's also a Sawyer Sweeten. I guess this is a guy on some TV show that everyone knows. Don't even have the name of the show here. Anyway, he's dead at age 19, apparent suicide. Well, when you hear someone that's that young of an apparent suicide dead, you have to say five quality, right? Where's the five? And also, the other thing is, look for the two quality, because the two quality lacks confidence. And for that matter, we've seen 6-9 month and 9-6 month where some people had bad things happen and where they committed suicide in those months too. And that's the worry of the six and the indefiniteness of the nine. So those are perhaps the most likely numbers to commit suicide or to be factored in to a person's despair. 2, 6, 9, and of course 5. Let's have a look. Does he have any of these numbers? Sawyer, 641. Good, strong, positive combination. Great stuff. Sweeten, Sweeten, 641 again. Unusual. Total of his two names, 382, 2 destiny. Okay. So here's a guy with good positive qualities, but a 2 destiny. And that's really going to undermine everything. Everything good in that name. And, you know, there are some fine qualities to the 641. But that 2 destiny is, just think of it as doubt. This poor kid had a lot of doubt. Birthday, Sawyer Sweeten, May 12, 1995. May is the 5th month. 12th, 1 and 2 is 3. 1995 reduces to a 6. His birthday numbers are 5, 3, 6, 4, 5. So he was a 5 under a 5. What about a cycle? Our spirits go up and down according to the cycles as well, right? Was there a cycle influence? Well, he's in an 8 year, so he was in a 5, 4 months. The 4 is a test, and the 5 is, well, we see all the things the 5 is. It's a test of being 5-ish, you might say. Test of despair, test of wanting to end it all. And unfortunately, he didn't pass the test. So a real study in the numbers. It's hard to use the word good in this case, but it is a good study in the numbers. It really is. One thing that helps is this guy has 3 numbers twice each. So he's a 5 under 5. There's the 5 twice. He's got a 6, 4, 1 twice. And he's got a 2 destiny. Well, he's got 1, 2. But he's got in such a prominent position, the destiny. If you had to choose one number to sum up the person, you would choose the destiny number. Just even working out the letters under his name in Sawyer. So the first year of his life, he's under the S. Second year, he's under the A. The third to, I guess, seventh, he's under the W. He just left the E letter. So from the age of 14 to the age of 19, he was under the 5 letter. There's another 5. And by the way, we're talking 9. The 9 can be indefinite and whatnot. He just came under a 9 letter. So he really has all the numbers you would expect to find. And no strong numbers or no numbers that wouldn't, like a 4 quality, wouldn't have these thoughts at all. Just not at all. Well, he doesn't have any 4 quality. The 3 is very happy and they love life. I was going to say he doesn't have any 3. He does have 1, 3, a 3 total soul. So probably this guy was quite moody. In other words, he would have times when he would be super up and optimistic. And then he'd have other times, a 5 under a 5, where he would just think the most dark, despairing thoughts. I bet you he had a real roller coaster of a life, emotionally. Next story. Richard Corliss dies at age 71. This was the Time Magazine film critic for 35 years. Last week I talked about Roger Ebert watching his documentary, Life Itself, and how Roger wanted to document his demise, his fight with cancer. They always say a fight with cancer. It's not that at all. When you start doing chemo and cutting out parts of your jaw and everything, you're not fighting the cancer. You're going down a predictable victim path. And statistically, good things do not happen to you going down that path. This guy, quoting from Wiki, was one of several editors of Time magazine who focused on movies with occasional articles on other subjects. This Richard Corliss, they listed his top movie picks for a large span of time, 1980 to 2014, so that's a 35-year span. And I counted, there was 40 movies listed there that they were top movies that he recommended. Out of his 40 movies, I liked 2 of them. So I say, another worthless movie dude has died. These people, their sole job is to support the movie industry, in my opinion. Some of this guy's top movies, Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction is I've fortunately forgotten that dreadful Sin City. Pulp Fiction is like Sin City. It's one of these movies you watch it for about a minute or two, and you immediately go, why am I watching it? Unless you're some teenage boy who likes violence, right? That's the market. Or unless you're someone that you do what you're told. When they tell you something's good, you're like, well, it must be good. I'll stick with it to the end. 2 other top movies that this guy rated were Simpsons movies. Another top-rated movie, Pan's Labyrinth. My wife and I briefly watched part of Pan's Labyrinth. This is targeted as a kids movie, animated movie from, 3-4 years ago. What a shocking, horrifying movie. It's kind of like Sin City for kids. A really dark, ugly movie. Non-redeeming movie. One of his top movies. How can you, in all conscience, recommend to millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people to watch Pan's Labyrinth, or Pulp Fiction, or a Simpsons movie? I'm sorry, I don't respect the Simpsons franchise in the slightest. I think it's an agenda series. It's designed to ridicule and beat down parts of the population. And you do it with a comic. Who doesn't like comics? You can be as crude as you want in a comic. It's not people. It's for fun. What's the matter with you? Don't you laugh? Borat, another one of his top movies. Borat is kind of like the Jackass series without any stunts. It's just all the grossness of Jackass without the actual amazing, challenging, painful stunts. And when you take out all the amazing, painful stunts, you don't have much there. You just have toilet humor. One other top movie of his, one of his most recent, one of his final top movies. I wonder what he got paid for promoting this particular movie. Gravity. Wow, man. Gravity, that is so far from being a movie. You shouldn't even refer to Gravity as a movie. Lost. You know, when a movie has lost its way, it's an unknown director, Gravity. Music was horrendously inappropriate. Nothing going on. Everything simulated except for the faces of the actors. George Clooney looked totally bored. Nothing believable about it. Almost no story. Shockingly bad. One of his top movies. Another thing I do when someone passes away, someone famous, is I go looking for their quotes. It's really interesting to do this. Like Joan Rivers, I found tons and tons of quotes, and she's such a complex person because she was, I believe she was a five, and or she was a three in the birthday, but she had a five destiny, that's right, and a 551 last name, very five-ish in her makeup. And the five-ish person, they live a lot of lives, more lives than the average, and they got something to say. I went looking with this guy had nothing to say. Can you believe that? You're a film critic. Film critic, that's like one step away from being like the art teacher at school, right? Can you imagine your art teacher having nothing to say? Just think about that. How can someone in the art business have nothing to say? How is that possible? Here's an example of one of his quotes. Every artist undresses his subject, whether human or still life. It is his business to find essences in surfaces, and what more attractive and challenging surface than the skin around a soul? I'm sorry, that's just not interesting. It's flowery language, and it's saying almost nothing. Of course you get into the depth of your subject. Of course you do. What is the point of being an actor? What is the point of portraying a character if you don't get into the depth of the character? So this guy managed to say something that was almost nothing in about, well, it's three sentences on my screen, three lines on my screen. You know, it took him three times too long to say something obvious. And that's one of the best things this guy had to offer. What's his name? Richard 167. One of the things they say about the 167 is there's not a lot of depth there. They might appear to have depth, but they don't really. Well, you know, it really shows with this guy, maybe perfectly with this guy. Last name Corliss, 685. Definitely a critic quality. This guy was probably a good critic, but here's the thing. I think he would always choose what he said in the end. In other words, whatever he might have truly thought about a movie, he rarely shared that. That's what I would guess. And by the way, what is the quality that hides what they think and can put on a good act? It's the seven, right? Well, we've already seen the seven expression in the first name. When you add his two names together, 753, the George total. Three destiny, entertainment destiny, expressive destiny, but there's a seven again. This is a guy that I'm sure consistently never shared what he thought about movies. He just looked at the industry, looked at what was being offered, and was like, who do I get in bed with? This is all strictly my speculation. I don't have a basis for this. Just the name, just the reviewing the movies that this guy liked. His quotes or lack thereof. This guy was a dud in my books. A dud died. 35 years, half his life, reviewing movies, and he ranks Borat as one of his top movies ever. And Gravity, for that matter. And Pan's Labyrinth. That's kind of like ranking some vodka as a really great beverage after you've just went for a jog. You want to recover after a jog? Take a shot of vodka. It's just so inappropriate. No one, anywhere, should be recommending Pan's Labyrinth. It was shockingly mistargeted, if nothing else. If you target that at adults, fine. When you target it at adults, it sort of all bets are off, right? It has to go past the ratings board. It can get a very harsh rating or a more general rating, and then you sort of know when you're going into it, right? But when it's a kid's movie, the kid wants to see it. There was one haunted house one, I've forgotten which one it was. I think it was one with the guy who directed Batman. Oh, yeah, he did like a haunted house kids movie, and he did more than one. Again, it's just very inappropriate. Introducing kids to horror, I don't think there's an ounce of sense in that. Next story. Autopsy: Indiana University student died from head injuries. Daniel Messel, age 49, of Bloomington, was arrested Friday in the death of the IU senior. He was held at the jail. I guess I've cut right through the story I didn't excerpt earlier. There was a death of a senior, Hannah Wilson. Let's just get to the names of the people. So this guy, Daniel Messel, who's been arrested, this guy looks really big and really powerful. When they do the mugshot, they have the tape measure next to the guy. He's over 6 foot 1. He's about 6 foot 1 and a half to 6 foot 2 by my estimate. And he looks like a football player. I mean, he looks really big. Okay, by itself, that doesn't particularly mean anything, right? Let's have a look at his numbers. How did the numbers line up to the person? So his name is Daniel Messel. Well, how many Daniels do you know when they're age 49 that get called Daniel? They're Dan, right? They're Dan, for sure. So let's analyze him as Daniel Messel. Messel is a 191. We've talked about the one being physical. The 191, that's all they are, is physical. With Daniel, it gives him a 731 total one destiny. That's physical, and that's, bad things happen to you physically, right? But what about his Dan Messel? Well, his Dan, that's 191 as well. So he has a 191 nickname, first name. 191 last name, 292 total, two destiny. And we've seen how the two destiny and the 292 can go off. Once they go off, look out. And so the person where you're saying look out to has got a 191-191. What's he going to be? Physical. If anyone is going to be physical. So now let's go back again to that mugshot of this guy who looks like a, I would say at least 250 to 280 pound, 6 foot 1 or 6 foot 2 high, serious dude with very one-ish physical names. And then that 292 total, which can just snap. The victim, Hannah Wilson, Hannah 281. Wilson 652, it's like Bates, three destiny. This person, it's not their fault, right? They have numbers that they want to party. She's got twos and threes around, those are the party numbers. So she's going to be out doing that kind of stuff. Well, the point is, if you're out doing that kind of stuff, you're going to run into someone who's preying on people who've been drinking, preying on people who want to have fun. And so they will do something spontaneously because they want to have fun. In this particular story, I'll have the link. They mentioned some other incidents. There was a Lauren Spire or Spear who vanished in 2011. In the year 2000, Jill Berman vanished. And then a guy, John Myers, was convicted in Berman's murder. He's serving a 65-year sentence. So let's have a look at those three other people. Do they have the numbers that could attract bad things? Well, Lauren Spear is 189. The 189, they say it shortens your life, and it can be a tragedy combination. Jill Berman, Jill 977, Berman, Behrman, 617, 5 destiny. And finally, the guy John Myers who got convicted. What are we looking for, right? We're looking for either the one destiny or the five destiny, right? Is he five-ish or one-ish? And of course, it wouldn't be surprising if he's two-ish, right? And that two just snaps. So the guy who gets convicted is John Myers, John 652. There's the Bates-Wilson combination again. Myers, 538. There's the 538, a very serious combination, look out. And then you add them together, one destiny. In fact, 281 total. And how many times have we seen the 281 total being very physical, very assaultive, very dangerous total? Five different people in that story, and they all indicate the numbers. The story was this morning. Google News: one rescued, four missing after sailboats capsize in Alabama Bay. "We knew we were totally lost at sea," said regatta participant Rhonda Gilreth, shown with her boyfriend Randy Rutledge of Rome, Georgia. All right, so Rhonda Gilreth, what kind of person is out sailing? Well, usually the seven quality, right? Rhonda, 786, there it is. Gilreth, good combination, 628. Total of her two names, 415 total, 5 destiny. Very discordant total and a 5 destiny. Not surprising she was caught out in this, right? What about her friend, her boyfriend, Randy Rutledge, Randy 178? By the way, the one likes the physical activity. Something like sailing that would appeal to the one quality. Randy 178, Rutledge 472, total 551, hell total, 1 destiny. Well, they went through a little bit of hell, didn't they? Now, there's a guy from the Coast Guard who I guess was interviewed, and he said they will continue to search through the night. What's his name? Carlos Vegas. Carlos, 775. Accident, looking for a place to happen. Well, imagine you work for the Coast Guard. That's a job where accidents happen, right? You're the guy who has to go out there and try and save the situation, but you've got that accident name yourself. In other words, you're taking huge risks yourself in this chaotic, dangerous environment, and that's your job. What I'm getting at is when you have that kind of combination, this is the kind of job you have. This is your regular work. So in addition to 775 first name, Vegas, 639, by the way, the 639 Vegas cares very deeply. There's a strong humanitarian giving quality. And same with the 5. The 5 cares very deeply. They want to help the underdog. So this guy, at least part of him, very much wants to do this job. What's his total? 415 total, 5 destiny. The same as Rhonda Gilraith. Same total, exact total, and another 5 destiny. Finally, there was one other person they interviewed who was, quote, on a boat and told the TV or radio station reporting this. It was the worst storm she had ever seen. Who was this? Susan Kangel. Susan 472, just like Rutledge. And then Kangel 281. There's the one again. In her case, she had a 3 destiny. She survives, right? And she's surrounded by people who don't and have a worse experience. But should you be in that environment? Should you be out in a storm? Okay, admittedly, you can get caught in a storm. Well, you can certainly more easily get caught in a storm when you have a name that attracts that sort of thing. By the way, all these boats were taking part in a race. You know, you're taking part in a race, you get kind of committed to it, right? You get halfway through it, and you're like, well, we got to finish, right? And you see the bad weather coming in, you're like, well, we got to hurry up and finish this race. Probably numerous people had numerous chances to stop the race and head for shore. Throw down the anchor, take down the sail, right? That's the dilemma. When you have numbers that want to compete, which can be the 5 or the 3 destiny, do you have the sense to go, okay, not today. This race is over for us. You know, you need that balance, or you'll pay for it. And when all that's happening out on the water, there's no one, there's no reference, there's no guidelines, you know. Well, we've statistically analyzed the situation and you should take a break. No one is telling you that. It's up to you. In the moment. If you had even one drink or, oh, I just love this part of the bay. You know, the view you get when you round this bend. If you get too caught up in it, you're trapped. If it's a race, you're not just moving along the shoreline, right? You're probably some kind of a box arrangement. You know, you have to go around in a circle or a box, right? And part of that box is going to be farther away from the shore. You know, we do attract these things. And, well, do you want to attract those things? There's a story, How Technology is Destroying Jobs. This was in technologyreview.com. And then there was another related story, The Machines Are Coming. This was in the New York Times just a few days ago, I guess last week. And then there was a Slashdot discussion of this. Well, you know, the machines are coming. And there's going to be massive disruption. The people in the top, they don't care. They could truly care less, other than trying to profit from it. You know, we talked about Amazon and Google coming out with services, and that's going to lower how much people get paid, and then you have robots and machines taking over services. You know, there's going to be a shakedown. I remember when I used to get my hair cut quite a long time ago before I bought a shaver and do it myself. And I went to this barber, and the internet was just starting to take off. And that's relative. You know, there was a 5 or 10 year period where there was sort of like a real, kind of like the frontier mentality or the gold rush mentality to the internet. I think right up until the year 2000, roughly. Then the year 2000, what happened was the crisis never happened. And then companies had spent a lot of money upgrading their systems. And then in doing that, suddenly they didn't need technical people half as much. It marked a noticeable step change in the computing field. So anyway, this is probably around 2000, give or take. And just remember telling this barber, you know, you don't have to worry about the internet. People need a haircut. It's very hard to automate that. You can't, you know, order that from Amazon. You get good at your job, and that's that. The downside is you don't necessarily make a lot of money at cutting hair. You have to like the job. But there's something to be said for a job that you like that can't be automated. Next story, I call it Deception by the Numbers. This is an older story. I'm sort of dipping into some older stories. I didn't accumulate as many this last week. I don't know why. LabTech Annie Duchan faked up to 60,000 drug sample analyses. For 9 years, Annie Duchan worked as a crime lab chemist in Massachusetts, performing drug tests for criminal cases. and she seemingly set a bar for excellence that was prohibitively high. Over her career, she completed as many as 60,000 analyses, making her partly responsible for an estimated 11,000 criminal convictions. All the while, she outpaced her colleagues in productivity, sometimes by a factor of 3. Unfortunately, she wasn't some laboratory wonder kind with a passion for drug offenses. In fact, she didn't even have the master's degree she claimed to have earned. Rather, she had been faking test results at a rate of thousands per year. Just in the year 2010, she processed, in quotes, 10,933 samples. You know, there's roughly 200 work days in a year. That's 50 a day. And she's not processing any of them. That's 50 acts of deception per day. Since the discovery of her conduct, at least 1,100 criminal cases have been dropped or dismissed. $8.5 million has been spent attempting to account for her mountain of faked lab data. In the wake of the legal, ethical, and financial chaos wrought by Annie Duncan, her punishment may strike many as light. After pleading guilty to perjury, obstruction of justice, and evidence tampering, she received a prison sentence of, get ready for this, it's a big sentence. You'd expect that, right? When you commit 60,000 crimes, you'd expect, I don't know, 60,000 years or 20 times 60,000, what's that? 1.2 million year sentence, right? Her sentence? 3 to 5 years, followed by 2 years of probation, though. In the meantime, the criminal justice system will be left to clean up the countless messes caused by a single person with too much incentive to lie and too little oversight. All right, well, this person was born Annie Sadia Khan. Annie, 617. Sadia, S-A-D-I-Y-Y-A, 213. Khan, K-H-A-N, 167. 988 total, a destiny, very successful. Now, if she goes as Annie Khan, 617-167-775, total 5, destiny. And as Annie Duncan is 415. That discordant 415, third time today that we're reviewing that combination. So the 7 is that deception. And in fact, when I worked at one of these health companies a few years back, there was a person they hired and their last name was Khan, same spelling, K-H-A-N. And they got a custom license plate, I'm not making this up. And in 6 or 7 letters, they managed to convey the phrase con artist in the license plate. Con artist. Well, it turned out they were. And ultimately, they stole money from... They quickly became a manager for who knows what reason. They were basically hired to be a manager when, you know, the company could have drawn from some of us, right? Companies never do that, or they very rarely do that. The bad companies, anyway. They bring in people off the street to be a manager. What an insult. You're saying that everyone who's there can't be a manager. They're nothing. They're underlings. If I need a good manager, I have to go and buy one. I have to hire one. It's so stupid to do that. It's kind of mind-boggling. But luckily, karma-wise, these companies stink. And this company had a hard time eventually hiring people. And it's gone straight down the toilet. And rightly so. But unfortunately, they're caring for people in, quotes, large numbers. And so in the meantime, people are suffering. It's kind of an unpleasant situation with a con artist at the heart of it. Annie Duncan, 60,000 faked tests, almost 11,000 in 1 year. Boy, that was a red letter year for her. She must have been in an 8 cycle that year or a 4. You know, the 4 is a hard working number. She worked hard when she faked those samples, I'm sure. Fred Zane recklessly lied about rape and murder cases for 13 years. In West Virginia alone, this guy, Zane, may have lied in as many as 182 different cases. All right, so this is sort of an equal time thing, I just realized. From the Wikipedia for this guy, Fred Zane. Zane, by the way, Z-A-I-N. He's born Frederick Salem Zane. 898 total, 8 destiny. It is one of these... related stories. They both had exactly the same total combination. And by the way, just like Annie had the 7 quality round, she had Con, which was 167. Well, Frederick, that's how he's born, his first name is 167. And where Annie Duncan was a 415, this guy Zane, his last name was a 145. The similarity of the numbers of these two guys is almost freakish. And they just randomly were two different stories in my file that I've been sitting on for too long. They give the birthday of Fred Zane, April 14, which reduces to a 5, 1951. So he's 456 for a 6. So he was a 605 while he was doing all this. Here's a guy with an 898 total, which is the justice total, supposedly, and he was under a 5 mental mind or 6 under a 5. This guy actually had many honorable qualities. He could have lived that kind of life, but he lived a different one. And this guy got a thought in his head where, well, I'm going to convict these guys. People aren't tough enough on crime or whatever. I'm making this up. I don't know this for a fact, but this is what I assume happened. And so he's like, I'm going to convict these guys. I'm going to put them away. And so he lied in at least 182 cases just in one state alone. Wow. Talk about the numbers gone wrong. I mean, again, he doesn't have balanced names. It's not a surprise in terms of the names. This is an example where you have a very successful total, but you don't have balanced names. Same with Annie Dukin or Annie Kahn. Successful total, they make a lot of money, but they don't have balanced names, and it shows. There was a story a couple of weeks back. Mom and daughter, age 14, vanish after trip to New York City's Times Square. The mom, Iona Costello, and her 14-year-old daughter, Emily. When you read the story, and then there was a follow-up story, I'll have both links. She's in a custody battle over her late husband's estate with four of her children. That's why, supposedly, she sort of took off to get away from the heat or whatever. She's kind of at the center of all this. Iona, 753. Costello, 832. Well, you know, we've seen when you have the 8 and the 2 around. It is a gold-digging combination. People want money. So here's the family. Everyone's suing everybody over this guy's money. It's kind of a creepy situation. What about her total? The widow, what's her total? 685 total, 5 destiny. There's our 685 once again. Again, she has no balance anywhere. So her idea of, you know, dealing with the situation is to take off with one of her daughters and basically disappear in New York. Tell no one kind of thing. What's the daughter? Emily 551. So the daughter that she takes with her is hell for a first name. And so then follow-up story, she's fighting her late husband George Costello's four children over the fortune he gained from owning a construction company. So George Costello, George 753, same as Iona, by the way. They had the same, I just realized that. They attracted accordingly, right? They each had the 753 first name. They attracted each other. Costello 832, he had a 685 total 5 destiny. Successful company in American society. That's what everyone looks up to, right? Someone who was successful, someone who made a bunch of money, right? And you look at this story and there's nothing good about it. There isn't a single redeeming thing about it. There isn't a single happy person among five children and a spouse, a widow. No one's happy. You know, you need a heck of a lot more than money to be happy. One heck of a lot more. Next story. Garnier Skin Ultra Lift Miracle Sleeping Cream Anti-Age Plus Anti-Fatigue Eye Cream. That is the actual name of this product. Please don't ask how I got this link. I don't remember anymore. Can you believe that name? I'm just looking. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 words in the name. Well, if you think 14 words in a name is a lot, get ready for the ingredients. Aqua, water, dipropylene glycol, that's antifreeze. Dimethicone, doesn't sound good. Glycerin, that's like, it's good for getting rid of earwax. Alcohol, DINAT, don't know what DINAT means. Bispeg 18, methyl ether, dimethyl silane, basically a solvent. Vinyl methicone, sounds horrible. Sounds like something you would caulk the leaking windows in your house with. Methicone silesquioxin cross polymer, yeah, that's definitely a good caulking agent. Dimethicone cross-polymer, another one. Polybutylene glycol, well, there's a different antifreeze. Hydroxyethyl piperazine ethane sulfonic acid, yum. Andinosine, albizia julibrissin bark, okay, something natural. Aluminum starch, well, great. Isn't it great to put aluminum on your body? Isn't that, like, really healthy? It isn't? Oh, I thought it was. Ammonium polyacryl dimethyl toromide, well, sounds like more plastic. Ammonium polyacrylo, a related one. Caffeine. So this sleep cream has caffeine. I think that's what got my attention. Caprylyl glycol, another antifreeze. Carbamer. Now the red and the yellow dyes. Darutoside. Lavandula hybrida oil. Probably something healthy. Phenoxyethanol. When you see phen, P-H-E-N, in a compound, it usually has a phenyl group, and phenyl groups are known to be carcinogens or cancer-causing. So that's kind of yummy. 3-myristyl ether, another hydrocarbon, silica, i.e. sand, sodium acrylates, definitely good stuff for paint. You know, you want a good latex paint, you want acrylates in there. Cross-polymer even, yeah, so that's a good plastic. Sodium hyaluronate, no idea. Sodium polyacrylate, another plastic. Triethanoamine and xanthan gum. Good old xanthan gum. I think I captured the story because it's a sleeping cream, anti-age, anti-fatigue eye cream. So it's a special cream for your eyes with caffeine. You're putting caffeine directly on your eyes to try and make your eyes feel better. Why do you need this? Why do we have all these stories about sleep? Because people aren't sleeping as well. Why? Microwave radiation. Everyone has a cell phone. Everyone has a tablet. They have wireless networking in their house. They're getting these devices and putting them on the wrist so that they have wireless radiation 24/7. And then they can't sleep. And so then you need a 14-word compound to stick on your eyes and it has caffeine in it. Along with the plastics and sand and various good things like that. Isn't that yummy? Way to go, Garnier. I don't mind promoting that product. That's a really good 14-word product to help you get some relief for your eyes. Yeah, they're on our side, you know. Oh, look at that. I thought it was going to be free. You actually have to pay for this product. At first, I thought it was free. No, it's not free. I used myself as a guinea pig for 8 alternative sleep aids. This is kind of a related story. This is Wired. Just excerpting from the story, this guy supposedly tested 8 products. And funny thing, one of them that he tested was pure melatonin. You know, the stuff your body makes to help you sleep. Once it gets dark, truly dark, your body starts to automatically make melatonin and it helps you sleep, right? That one, yeah. So one of the products he tested was melatonin, which is the cheapest of all of them. It's practically free. In fact, you might call it the no-profit in it choice. Well, that particular no-profit choice, that one he ranked, this highly qualified reporter at Wired, ranked it the worst. He ranked melatonin the worst. Well, isn't that helpful? It's kind of like ranking vitamin D the worst for something. I found vitamin D to be sort of a bit of a miracle for me and back pain and whatnot. Very appreciative of it. But, you know, vitamin D is practically free. You can buy some gigantic bottle from Costco or whatever, and it has a very modern dose, not the dose from 40 years ago that was way too low. But there's no money in that for them. So here's our faithful reporter. Being a guinea pig for 8 alternative sleep aids. Well, he was a guinea pig, all right. He's a guinea pig for the companies that Wired is shilling for, in my opinion. Next story, Jibo, J-I-B-O. George Orwell would be proud. That's my own sub-headline. I don't think they had used George Orwell in the article, although they could have. This link is on the site called Vigilant Citizen, so these guys are trying for the truth anyway. That's good. So this is a little robot, a little cute little robot that will monitor everything. It films everything. It will hang out and talk to your kids. It will be filming the whole time. And it can recognize facial expressions. In my notes, I say that's for any future police reports. Isn't it nice to have Big Brother right in your home? That gives you a warm feeling. Jibo, how sweet. A sweet little robot, no doubt with wireless radiation too. It's kind of awesome. Some products really add value. Big Brother and radiation. And the kids have never been happier, hugging their robot. Next story, Steve Burns, NASCAR announcer, dies at age 56. Okay, that's pretty young, right? 56, that's usually when I kick in and I want to analyze things. NASCAR, racing, that's the 5 quality, usually. Sometimes the 8. The 8 is also, can be a very good driver, so most commonly 8 and 5 are. Longtime Fox NASCAR announcer Steve Burns, who has been suffering from head and neck cancer since 2013, died Tuesday. He was 56. Well, of course, these days, people who are on the cell phone a lot are getting those kind of cancers. I don't know. I'm not saying anything about this guy. Maybe he just somehow managed to avoid microwave radiation everywhere. Of course, at these races, right, they have all kinds of wireless communication, all kinds of it. I would love to know the radiation levels in NASCAR, in racing. They call it telemetry. That telemetry is sending something like your telephone sends your voice. That telemetry is doing it wirelessly. So these guys would be early pioneers of wireless radiation. What's his name? Stephen Patrick Burns. Stephen 134. Well, there's the cancer number. So, okay. You can just blame it on his name, right? You got that name, you can get cancer. And it's true. It certainly makes him more susceptible. Patrick 156, middle name. The last name Burns, 562, there's the 5, there's the quality that wants to be out and doing, covering races. As Stephen Burns, he had a 696 total. I'm sure this guy, you know, was better than average, honestly. Take all his names together, 753 total, 3 destiny. But ultimately, the guy dies and dies young. It's a casualty of his sport, really. It'll just take us 20 years to realize it. Now I'm getting to really old stories. Like I say, there was just a shortage of stories this week, I don't know why. Sean Hannity has all caps Twitter meltdown after being named worst Fox News host. This is in December of last year. Okay, so Sean Hannity has a meltdown on Twitter after being named the worst host. No one wants to be named the worst host. How would most people respond to that? I don't think you'd go to Twitter. And you sure wouldn't do an all caps rant. I understand that it can be frustrating, but let's have a look at this guy's name, because the anger numbers, I mean, the one can see red, and when it sees red, it's very blind. It's not its best friend when it's seeing red. Seeing red anger, that kind of one-ish anger, is kind of like, you know, caveman. It's primitive. And we live in a world where you can't be primitive. If you're primitive, you'll pay for it. So does he have the one quality anywhere? Sean Hannity? Sean, 663. Well, that's very expressive and, you know, good quality, likable quality. Hannity. H-A-N-N-I-T-Y 191. There's our 191. I'm sure if you read his rant, every word of it was true. But who wants to hear the truth, especially in the media? So they just say, oh, he had a rant and it was all caps, and no one reads it. I never read it. Why read it? The story is that it's all caps. It's easy to take advantage of someone when they lose it, when they get angry. There are certain qualities that take advantage of other qualities precisely at that moment, when that one quality is getting angry like that. Next story. CUNY professor arrested over protest attack on cops. The charges against Eric Linsker, age 29, of Crown Heights, who was arrested shortly before 4 a.m. Sunday, include assault in the second degree, rioting in the first degree, criminal possession of a weapon, resisting arrest, and unlawful possession of marijuana. You know, you got to throw on a pot charge, is that right? It's like saying unlawful possession of your car keys. Really, does that fit in the context of the rest of it? Unlawful possession of stuff that the president of the country used to grow in his backyard. Oh, that stuff. Let's have a look at his name. Eric, with a C, 538. Well, we've seen 538 earlier today. That's a serious name combination. Look out. Linsker, L-I-N-S-K-E-R, 527. Excellent, looking for a place to happen, and more 5 quality. Total of his two names, 156 total, 6 destiny. So this guy has fives, and he has the one quality, and an accident looking for a place to happen combination. You can see this guy being, you know, getting into some trouble. And when he gets into trouble, it's not a mischief where you throw toilet paper rolls over a tree. Next story. Amber Alert issued for Texas boy age 4 after mother found dead. And the picture shows the child's name, so we happen to know the name of the child, who now the mother has died. Amber Alert was issued for a 4-year-old boy on Saturday after his mother was found dead at her job. Richard Alexander Lara was reported missing Saturday night after his mother, Maria Isabel Romero Medina, was found dead at Sanchez Insurance and Tax in Denton earlier that evening. Police say they have not been able to reach the boy's father, Ricardo Martinez, who is reportedly a person of interest. Well, it turns out on the picture they say that the boy is also Ricardo. Let's have a look at the numbers of these people. First of all, let's look at the mom, who dies at work, tragically, right? Maria, 246, when you work out all the other names, she has a 494 total. Well, she was working when she died, right? That's the story of a 494 total, is you work all the time. I think as Maria Medina, she has a 7 destiny, so maybe she had a heart issue when she was at work. What about the child? Let's see, their child is Ricardo Alexander Lara. But Ricardo, 775, excellent, looking for a place to happen. So this kid's minding his own business, he's only 4, bang, his mom's gone. That's a shock that it'll take him years, if not decades, to get over. What about the dad? The husband, right? Now he's a widower. Ricardo Martinez. Ricardo, 775, again. So two different accident looking for a place to happen people had the same thing happen to them. They lost mom. They lost their spouse. With Martinez's last name, he's got a 3 destiny. 483 total. So similar total to her total. With the 4 there, they're both, I'm sure, very hardworking. At least he has a 3 destiny, and so I give him a chance of recovering from this. Pretty shocking, right? And the repercussions of that shock as they hit these people with these accident vibrations. You know, they're not set up to handle this very well. All right, one last story before I get to my of the weeks. I was watching a number of videos on ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is a herb, a plant that grows in the Amazon. It's been, you know, talked about and YouTubed about. It's basically a hallucinogenic. Probably illegal in the States, I don't know. So people have to, you know, travel to the rainforest to get this stuff. The interesting thing medically or chemically is that it's basically an alkaloid and a purgative, so it's like a laxative because it supposedly has these health properties, right? So it's interesting that basically, and these are really serious, dedicated people in the Amazon living there who are the clinics in the Amazon for people who feel like they have no other place to turn to. They're desperate. But it's interesting that this thing is a purgative, it's a laxative, and how important that is. When things get tough for you medically, make sure your elimination is good. And Senna is dirt cheap. It's a lot cheaper than a plane flight to the Amazon, I'll tell you. Okay, so now the hallucinogenic factor. Well, according to one of the tubes that I watched, the doctor was saying that this ayahuasca has a compound, tri something, methyl something or other, bromide or something. It turns out your pineal gland can make this stuff. And it was suggested in one of the videos, they suggested that you can have sort of two different levels of ayahuasca experience. You can have one where, let's call it the low level or the lesser experience, is where you're basically primarily influenced by the ayahuasca itself. Which, by the way, not uncommonly these people throw up, they sometimes evacuate their bowels. This is nasty stuff and it can be dangerous. I'm not advocating people do something dangerous. But the point is, there's an experience there that's a very elite experience potentially. It's a very high-end experience. And of course the problem is what are people willing to do to get that special experience? You're shadow boxing, right? You're boxing in a room where you can't see your opponent. Like with some of these treatment clinics, they use just ayahuasca, or they use ayahuasca and one other herb. But in other clinics, they put nicotine in there, they put tobacco in there. And in fact, there's only been one, according to one video, I'll have that link, there's only been one case where someone died during an ayahuasca ceremony. And it was a native in, I believe, North America. And when they analyzed the potion that they had all been drinking, it was very high in nicotine from tobacco. Well, nicotine is a serious poison in itself. Tobacco is loaded with toxins and poisons. And when you start putting that into something and drinking it, you're into uncontrolled dose country. And I wouldn't recommend that to say the least. So anyway, this is jungle experts, let's say, giving a dose of a hallucinogenic, and then these tubes that I watched, giving these people's comments afterwards, and I watched maybe four or five of them, and very informative and life transforming for some of these people. Basically a way to break down some of your barriers, to see yourself more clearly, and in some cases to get a perspective, a clearer perspective on what you're meant to do with your life. And that's all very honorable and good. Well, here's the thing. If you study your birthday numbers and your name numbers, you can get all that without the drugs. You can get all that without the vomiting and evacuating your bowels, without the fear of overdosing. You can get all that without a trip to the rainforest. And you can get on with your life. But it doesn't have quite the ring to it, does it? Because it's kind of like mostly you have to do something. Whereas ayahuasca, if you're not careful, can be an experience. And by the way, one of the guys talked about this, and he said he's so many years sober from alcohol, and when he was first considering doing ayahuasca, he didn't want it to be a drug experience. He wanted to avoid that state of mind, that kind of thinking, because he knew that would be like a trap. And good for him for saying that and pointing that out. But still, when you have to take a drug rather than using your mind and your thinking, there's something of being on the wrong track there. So I know Joe Rogan has talked about the ayahuasca experience quite a bit. He's one of these promoters of it. That's when I first heard about it, was through a Joe Rogan Experience podcast. I don't know how Joe does it. Every week this guy cranks out 2 to 4 podcasts and they're like 2 to 3 hours long each. This guy is just amazing. You know, he really is. Maybe, you know, if he looked at those podcasts and went through, there's going to be repetition, there's going to be ones you don't care for. Still, Joe's making a dent in the universe and good for him. So ayahuasca, interesting. I'd recommend looking at the videos because these guys who talk about it, they're very sincere. Invariably, they've been touched by the experience. One of them was like 1.5 hours long. There's some really long ones there, hefty ones. Even the shortest ones were like 10 minutes and 15 minutes. It's just something that we just don't get in this culture, in Western culture. It's a very anti or non-Western experience. And it's a more fundamental, more real, more valuable, potentially valuable, and certainly more unregulated experience than the average. Ayahuasca. Gonna get to my of the weeks. Bad driver of the week. And this is a story in Wired. Wired had several stories in this category last week. Americans want self-driving cars for the cheaper insurance. Well, potentially that is a factor, right? If you can hand off liability to a machine, and the machine becomes responsible, then your insurance doesn't get jacked up if the machine has an accident or if somebody hits your vehicle while the machine is driving. It's a definite factor. And I think also there's a fatigue factor. You know, let's say we had someone that we know who they used to drive like 2 or 3 hours a day each way, every day for their job. On the interstates, 2 or 3 hours each way. I mean, just the probability of them surviving that is kind of amazing. That's a horrific amount of driving, and wouldn't that be a perfect time to press a button and have a machine do all the driving once you get on the interstate? Wouldn't that be kind of awesome? I think that part of this is going to make it all happen very quickly. And the last mile, there's always talk of the last mile in the phone system. You know, it's cheap to run a big fat phone cable that can take 300 phone calls. That cable is only an inch thick in the old days, and you know, it's easy to run that under the streets. And the hard thing is that last mile. When you have that farmhouse in the middle of nowhere and his nearest neighbor is 2 miles away, it starts to get expensive to run a cable to their door. So they call that the last mile problem. Well, the cable industry, the TV cable industry, went through that as well. Same thing. They can carry a lot of people's data on that one cable in the city, but when you get out on the highway, it gets expensive. And so this will be the same problem with cars, where you can take 80% of the problem and you can solve it really easily. They're already doing it. But getting to that last mile where the old lady can walk out and just climb into her car and the car says, "Would you like to go shopping, Mrs. Smith?" And she's like, "Yes, please." And the thing just does everything. Kind of awesome, but I think we're a ways away from that. Not impossible, but a ways away. Kind of exciting because humans are proving to be the weak link in this driving system, right? Any kind of analysis reveals that. Cell phones and everything else. Humans are very distracted and poor drivers at best, honestly. Because it's all trade-offs, right? Driving safely would be driving slowly, but you want to get there quickly. Fundamental problem. My read of the week, or reread of the week. I've been working through physics books again. I get them these days, and I kind of look at them, and they sit there for a few days, and then yesterday I went through 3 or 4 of them, and there just wasn't much there. But one thing I have been doing is I've been researching. I tapped into a couple of places online where people publish non-conventional physics theories. And that has proven to be very interesting. That's where the real thinking is happening. Conventional physics today is, well, it's like vaccinations. There's no thinking happening in the media regarding vaccinations. It's all lies and stupidity and ugliness. Injecting people with mercury, etc. It's all nastiness, vicious, nasty stuff that will have such a long-term effect. Fluoridation. There's no truth there. When you get into the alternate media and when you go online and you ask a question, you know, fluoridation, is it safe or whatever, and you start reading the theories, the answers on both sides, then you start getting some truth and it starts to get interesting. So more to come in the physics world from things I've been reading, researching. I think my next one is going to take a lot of research because I'm covering a big field, definitely. I'm sort of covering the logjam, the official logjam of physics. Rewatch of the week. I watched The Imitation Game, and I watched Lucy. These are two new movies. Let's deal with Lucy first. I found Lucy to be quite compelling to watch. Great pacing in the story. It's very graphic. It's not a movie for kids, and I don't want to ignore that side of the movie. If you're going to have one part of the movie that you don't like, it's probably going to be the graphic violence. But unlike so many stories, there's a point to it. And it serves the story. It moves the story forward, very literally. I found the movie great. I've watched it twice since I got the DVD from the library. Thank you, library. Great stuff. And the director, Luc Besson, Frenchman, he did the movie The Professional. Luc Besson is, to me, he is a very good director. One of those top 10 directors, I would say. This guy's very talented. Really liked that movie. The other movie, The Imitation Game, this is about World War II. England trying to crack the German codes. The Enigma machine, the ultra secret, Bletchley Park. The main actor in this is Benedict Cumberbatch, the guy who's currently playing Sherlock Holmes in the Sherlock Holmes series, British series. Very good actor. He really put everything into this. Keira Knightley is the female star. She did a great job. She didn't wreck it. Let's put it that way. No one wrecked it. No one wrecked this movie. The music was good. Directing was very good. There are some parts of the story that, you know, could be considered controversial, or some people might want to talk about those parts, those subparts of the movie. For me, for my taste, the subparts, which really happened. The story is focusing on Alan Turing. And by the way, this isn't factual. If that's a problem for you, you know, stop listening. It's not a problem for me. I know the facts. I read the facts 30 or 40 years ago when I was a kid. The Ultra Secret, I think, is the one I read. There's a Stevenson book, too, and I get the two of them mixed up, but these two books came out in the 70s. I guess that's, what, 40 years ago? So if you want the facts, read the book. This is a dramatization which doesn't feel wrong. I guess I'll put it that way. It doesn't feel like you're being led down the path on it. It just simply makes the Alan Turing character, the Benedict Cumberbatch character, the center of the movie. He does everything, he's the hero, and then he gets treated badly in the end. All of which happened. What's so delightful and great is there's some real punchy lines in there. There's some real antagonists, protagonists, or whatever. You know, there's some real great dialogue. I've watched that one twice, and great movie. I say in my notes, this movie's flawless, the times were flawed. And I say this movie restores some of my faith in the British film industry, which has been terrible of late. Dealing with the homosexuality aspect, I guess it was illegal at that time to be a homosexual, which, you know, when we look at it with today's eyes, is kind of ridiculous, right? Why should that be illegal? It can be frowned upon. It can be something you don't choose to teach your kids in school. That's okay. Either way on that, I'm fine. It's a personal preference. How can a personal preference be illegal? It's really like saying, if you drink alcohol, we'll throw you in prison. And we went through that. It was called prohibition, right? And it was a bad idea, and then we quickly stopped that. People should have a choice. And what I like about this movie is that it doesn't lord it over you about this particular sub-movie within the movie. It just states the facts. They get woven into the story. It's factual as to what happens. And it's just not... I don't think anyone should be whipping you with their agenda. And I never got that from this movie. It's brilliant. It all really happened. The Enigma machine. So it's a good read to read the original books about it. It was very interesting stuff. This movie, you know, glosses over many of those details. Anyway, good watches there. Cool and uncool thing of the week. This is a seriously uncool news story. 10 U.S. states are now considering mandatory vaccination. This is about as fascist and McCarthyistic as things have been for a while. This is pretty horrific. I predict a lot of people won't have kids as a result of this, and that can be considered a bad consequence, but it's also a good consequence. And it's what they want. Still, very uncool taking away our freedoms like that and lying in the media. Very uncool. Cool thing of the week? A fully transparent solar cell that could make every window and screen a power source. And this is very technical, but basically this is a truly clear piece of glass, when you look at it, that has been designed to capture energy from the sun and turn it into electricity. It's utterly ingenious how it works. It is truly clear. I'll have the link to it. Very cool. Once you have a solar cell that is clear, it can be a window. And when it can be a window, you can have more of them, and they're less noticeable. And they just become a part of life. Very cool stuff. My extended read of the week. I know I have a read and then I have a read. It's kind of confusing. It confuses me. I get terribly confused at this stage. This is an excerpt from a story. The story headline said, emergency room visits for mental health skyrocket in Chicago. Well, I'm sure they're skyrocketing everywhere, let's be honest. Okay, so here's an excerpt. Subheadline, the $2.5 million patient. Richard saw the same patients rotate in again and again, so she pulled one patient's files and found that woman had visited the Illinois Masonic Emergency Room 750 times over the course of about 10 years. Richard said the patient was picked up by an ambulance or police officer almost daily. Sometimes the emergency department would discharge her only to have her appear back a few hours later. The cost of that for us was $2.5 million, Medicaid dollars, said Richard. And that's only at our hospital. This is an individual who went between multiple hospitals, and so we don't have the true cost. Like many patients, she had different interconnected problems. She had mental health needs, drank too much, fell down a lot. She didn't have stable housing and started having seizures. And it wasn't only about the money. This is an individual we believed was going to die on the street. Richard and her team decided to take full responsibility for this patient. Her name, Richard, is spelled R-I-C-H-A-R-D-T. They decided to take full responsibility for this patient. They coordinated all aspects of her care, helped her get an apartment, and worked with nurses and a chaplain. And it all worked. She's only visited the emergency room a handful of times in the last year. About a year ago, they launched a team of social workers, chaplains, and nurses to provide the same type of care to more patients. They work with the hardest cases, including people with mental illness, who often visit the emergency room frequently. The hospital said their visits have begun to plateau. This is someone actually caring, and it's rare in the medical field, very rare. What is the name, Richard? 189. The 9 is that. Think Albert Schweitzer when you're trying to understand the 9 quality. The 9 can care very deeply and be the person who dedicates their lives to helping others. My fact of the week. Of 28 examiners with the FBI laboratory's microscopic hair comparison unit, 26 of the 28 have overstated forensic matches in ways that favored prosecutors in more than 95% of 268 trials reviewed so far, according to the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers and the Innocence Project, which are assisting the government with the country's largest post-conviction review of questioned forensic evidence. Well, this is a related story to that guy earlier who had... There was two of them, right? The guy and the girl, and they each had a successful total, and they each had lied hundreds and even thousands of times. One other fact of the week. 3.4 million people were displaced from their homes between 2004 and 2013, so in about a 10-year span, as a result of projects financed by the World Bank. Anybody who thinks the World Bank is on the side of the people is uninformed. Sugar-free food of the week. I'm going to say lettuce. I'm a little bit under the weather. Picked up something like, I guess everyone's got this. It involves coughing and a whole range of symptoms, kind of unpleasant, nothing you can do about it, there's no drugs for it, and not that I take drugs, but there's no drugs for it. And I just decided last night, okay, it's going to be water, and it's going to be lettuce. Romaine lettuce. I happened to buy more than I needed last week, and I'm like, okay, that's going to be my food today, all day. Maybe tomorrow too, if I can keep it up. Good old green leafy vegetables, man. Needless to say, there's no sugar in there, and there's no natural sugar, but I wouldn't worry about the natural sugar in romaine lettuce. So, that's my sugar-free food of the week. Looking forward to a whole bunch of it. Quote of the week. This is from The Imitation Game. Hardest time to lie to somebody is when they're expecting to be lied to. I forget the context of this quote within the movie. I think it's to do with the counterintelligence and deception, spies and counter-spies and all that aspect of the movie. But let's think about that. Hardest time to lie to somebody is when they're expecting to be lied to. And so I say in my notes that this is the reason for all the garbage on TV. This is why we have corrupt politicians on the front page of the newspaper, across the internet. This is why we have sports shows and food shows and all the music channels. And all manner of smaller lies, right? So that we won't suspect or be able to differentiate bigger lies. That's why they do it. Once you sort of have an MI6 attitude to what's going on today, you see things a whole lot more clearly. I'll do one other quote. This one I just happened to run into on Slashdot yesterday. Just sort of a random quote. Don't even remember the context. Oh, it was to do with the Apple Watch. You know, Apple came out with their new watch. New way to dose yourself with radiation 24 hours a day by sticking something on your wrist. You can pay up to $10,000 for that privilege of dosing yourself. And this guy, just a little comment, he said, when you grow up, you will realize that life is better not being plugged in all the time. So this has been Floyd Maxwell, JustThinkIt.com, doing the Floydcast number 63 for April 27, 2015. Good luck with your life. Take care.